coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the first letter of Peter. We read in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. We are summoned to a holy life fighting hatred, dishonesty, envy, and foul language. How can this be done? Where can we get help to succeed? The apostle advises us to drink spiritual milk, by which he means God's word. Newborn babies crave for milk. They want it immediately. The milk sustains the babies and makes them grow. In a similar way, Peter urges Christians to long for, to desire intensely the Word of God. The Word of God found in Holy Scriptures is the nourishment that makes us grow in faith, love, and hope. The growing process of a Christian shall never stop, but continue till the last day of his life. In the same way a person needs to take in daily a certain amount of food, so also Christians need to take in daily the gospel of Jesus Christ. In doing so, we will taste that the Lord is good. In His word, the Lord calls us to repentance, gives us His forgiveness, and supplies us with the will and the strength to live a godly life. As infants are satisfied with the mother's milk, so Christians find that God's word satisfies their deepest needs. The Apostle Peter continues to write in his letter, chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, Behold, I am lying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Who is the living stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious? This stone is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah foretold the coming and the importance of the Messiah. He is a living stone, not made of dead material matter, but made of flesh and blood. So the stone is living in that it is personal. It is Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. Furthermore, he is a life-giving stone. Christ, as the Son of God, has life in himself and gives life to those who believe in him. Consequently, believers are called living stones, and are prepared to function as living stones. Sadly, Jesus Christ, the chosen and precious stone, has been rejected by men in Old Testament times. many did not believe in the promised Messiah. They attached their hearts to idols and followed their corrupted human nature. So also in the days of Jesus, many rejected him in their hearts and with their actions. Even religious leaders, including elders, priests, and scribes, took offense at Jesus, disbelieved his words and rejected him. They stumbled on him. Those who were supposed to forward the kingdom of God and build up God's people cast Jesus out of their midst. Jesus Christ was intended to be the foundation of God's people, the very cornerstone on which the Christian church is built upon. But he was rejected. Nowadays the same thing happens. History repeats itself. However, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. God's purposes never fail. Although Jesus was killed, he was raised to life and proved that he is a living stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. The promise is given to you and to me. Whoever believes in Jesus will not be put to shame. Jesus is the sure and unmovable foundation on which we build our faith and our hope. The fact that we are built on Jesus Christ, a living stone, makes us living stones too. The Apostle Peter declares, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Each believer functions as a stone of God's spiritual house, that is, the Church of Jesus Christ. No one is dispensable. Everyone is precious. Because of Jesus Christ, we are a holy priesthood. We are priests and have free access to God through Jesus. Priests offer sacrifices. Thus, Christians offer to God the sacrifices of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. These are acceptable to God because of the greatest sacrifice, Jesus Christ Himself. The Apostle Peter goes on describing what we have been made by Jesus Christ. He says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession." As Israel was called God's people in the Old Testament, so in the New Testament Christians are designated as chosen or elect. Furthermore, Christians are a royal priesthood. The priest belonged to the king, God himself. Christians are a holy nation. Cleansed by Jesus Christ, we are set apart to do his will. Christians are a people for God's own possession. They have been purchased by Jesus with the price of his own life to belong to him now and forever. This is a marvelous description of great things Jesus Christ has done to us and of what he has made of us. We are reminded that in the past we were stuck in the darkness of condemnation. We were alienated from God. But by God's grace, the Holy Spirit called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. More than that, once we were not a people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. What is the purpose of God doing such great things to us? The Apostle Peter answers, saying that God did this great job to us so that we may proclaim the excellencies of God. As living stones, as a spiritual house, as a holy priesthood, as a chosen race, as a royal priesthood, as a holy nation, as a people of God's own possession, we are called to give God all praise and honor, to serve Him with all He has given to us, to consecrate our very lives to Him. A Christian cannot do any different than responding to God's grace and mercy with a life of love and service. The Apostle Peter encourages us in this respect, writing in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 of his letter. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. We are sojourners and exiles in this world. Our stay here on earth is temporary and short. Our definite and true home is in heaven. Now, while we are here and because of what God has done for us and of us, we fight the passions of the flesh, the sinful desires which constantly tempt us to offend God and transgress His commandments. Our lives are as mirrors to unbelievers, for they pay attention to our actions. Our conduct among non-believers shall be honorable. Good works make a strong impact on others and demonstrate what we believe. All that we say and do shall express our faith in Jesus, so that unbelievers may see our good deeds and glorify God. The Apostle Peter continues to write in chapter 2, verses 13 to 17 of his letter. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Peter urges Christians to submit to all legitimate authorities, whether or not the persons exercising authority are believers or not. The recognition of properly constituted authority is necessary for the greatest good of the largest number of people, and it is necessary to best fulfill the will of God in the world. Authority established among men depends on God for its existence. Indirectly, when one disobeys a human ruler, he disobeys God, who ordained the system of human government. One of the purposes of authorities is to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Evildoers invite the full justice of the civil law, whereas the obedient deserve to be given space and freedom to do what is right and good. Good citizenship counters false charges made against Christians and thus commands the gospel to unbelievers. In other words, when Christians live out their faith, they prove that the world's slanderous accusations are false. Christians are free from forced obedience to the law. Nonetheless, they voluntarily use their freedom in service to others. Peter also underlines, honor everyone. Honor is due to everyone rightfully in authority, whether in the church or the state. Further in his letter, the Apostle Peter writes in chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure. But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. When Peter mentions servants, he means mainly household servants, whatever their particular training and functions. Christian household servants are particularly addressed here. Christians are to serve even unjust authorities, who may see their example and come to faith. The subject of suffering is brought up by the Apostle Peter several times in his letter. He spoke to believers who endured trials and sufferings, particularly because of persecution. The aim of the apostle is to encourage the believers to stay firm in the faith and to comfort them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are numerous causes of suffering. Among them, we could mention illnesses, accidents, natural disasters, loss of beloved people, and loss of properties, personal frustrations including divorce, and professional disappointments including unfair wages, unjust dismissal from a job, and unemployment. When speaking about suffering, one of the aspects the Apostle Peter has in mind is suffering unjustly in the realm of work, under the management of unjust masters. In the context of work and job, an employer may suffer for just reasons. For instance, if he does not fulfill his duties, if he is dishonest, if he breaches health and safety regulations, if he disrespects verbally or morally his boss or colleagues. These and other behavior issues can result in dismissal from job, payment of fines, even imprisonment. The resulting suffering in these cases are justly merited. Under the rules of slavery in New Testament times, the slaves would be beaten if they disobeyed their masters. However, if they were beaten for unfair reasons and consequently suffered, that was a gracious thing. Peter remarks, "This is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. If when you do good and suffer for it, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God." Righteous living in the face of injustice demonstrates reliance on God's grace. Christians who suffer for the sake of the gospel find favor with God, and they witness to His power. Bearing the cross for the sake of the gospel may be difficult, but it is a holy, precious, noble, and blessed calling. Christians face such sufferings with God's strength. The Apostle Peter continues to write in his first letter, chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." In this sin-broken world, we experience suffering. God calls Christians to live out their faith in the midst of suffering. The patient endurance of injustice is part of God's plan for the Christian. It was an important feature of the true grace of God experienced by the readers of the letter of Peter. In the same manner, injustice and suffering are part of the grace God shares with us. When trials come, we shall not automatically conclude that God is punishing us for a sin. Certainly we shall confess and repent of whatever sins we know. But we can also entrust our lives to God, who accomplishes His purposes in the midst of suffering. The Apostle Peter advises us to turn our eyes to Christ, who also suffered for us, leaving us an example so that we may follow in His steps. Although our suffering might be very great, it is little in comparison to what Christ suffered for us. In profound anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus declared, "My soul is very sorrowful even to death." His suffering for the sins of the world was so deep that His sweat turned into blood. While on the cross carrying the load of sins of the world and enduring pains of hell, Jesus expressed His suffering crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Christ is the supreme example of suffering evil for doing good. His experience as the suffering servant Savior encourages us to follow in His steps. There are some remarkable features that distinguish Jesus in His suffering. He suffered although He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. Jesus was and is true God, free from any sin and error. He never committed a fault. He never said an untrue word. In contrast to human beings, when Jesus was reviled, He did not revile in return. Jesus never responded to the mockery and lying accusers. When He suffered, He did not threaten. What did He do in the midst of suffering? He continued to entrust Himself to God, who judges justly. He relied on His Father, who will justly punish the wicked and reward the righteous. Why did Jesus suffer if He was innocent and righteous? He suffered not only to leave us an example. Jesus suffered for a much grander purpose. He suffered because of us and for us sinners. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Christ stood in our place. He was our substitute. What we could not do, He did. Christ's death was for us. The innocent gave His life for the guilty. As a result of Christ's death on the cross, believers are dead to sin so that they may live new lives and present themselves to God as instruments of righteousness. The Apostle Peter adds the statement, "By the wounds of Jesus we have been healed." This means that Christ's death brings salvation to those who trust in Him. We have been like sheep strayed from the shepherd and were heading to eternal destruction. However, because of Jesus' suffering, death and resurrection, we are safe in the care of the shepherd and overseer of our souls, Jesus Christ Himself. Summarizing what we have considered, we can confess, Scripture never teaches that those who follow Jesus will be immune to suffering, just as Jesus, our sinless Savior, faced unjust suffering and death, so we may be called to take up our own cross to follow Him. But if God gives us a cross to carry, He also promises to give us the strength to bear it by faith. Christ, our Shepherd, calls us by name, brings us into His fold through the Gospel, and cares for us in the midst of suffering. We are honored to follow Him. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.